This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, broadcasting today from the new museum in Washington, D.C., in the Knight Studios. And here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. Authorities in Spain say 149 people died when an airliner crashed during an attempted takeoff at Madrid's airport. They say the Spanair jet swerved off the runway and caught fire. There are an estimated 26 survivors. And a federal judge here in Washington ruled that Senator Ted Stevens cannot move his corruption trial from Washington, D.C. to his home state of Alaska. The Republican argued that moving the case to Alaska would allow him to campaign for re-election to the U.S. Senate. You can hear details on both those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, a new study shows that many families don't consider the price tag when choosing a college or whether that degree will help pay off the debt later. We'll talk about how much we should pay for college. We'll also be able to tell you how much your four-year degree might cost. Send us an email now with the name of the school you want to go to and where you live. We'll crunch the numbers for you. Send that by email now. The address is talk@npr.org. Please put college in the subject line. Again, if you'd like to consider going to college at a particular school, send us the name of that school, where you live. We'll crunch the numbers for you. Then tune in tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Send the address to our email, talk@npr.org. Put college in the subject line. For most of us, winning a medal in Olympic competition would be the dream of a lifetime. But for those who actually do step up to the medal stand, the position turns out to be critical. Sure, all the gold medal winners are happy, but second place can be bittersweet. In fact, research suggests that bronze is a much happier color. A group of scientists reached that conclusion after they examined the reactions of Olympic medal winners. Tom Gilovich is one of the researchers who worked on this study. He teaches psychology at Cornell University and argues that this principle goes well beyond sports. For example, students who come close to an A can brood about that for a long time. He joins us in just a moment. So what about you? Have you placed second in a competition that really mattered to you? How did it feel? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also share your story on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation, and we'll take any comments from second-place finishers here in our audience at the museum as well. Tom Gilovich joins us from Cornell University Media Services in Ithaca, New York, and nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Hi, Neil. It's nice to be on.
And the example you cite is American middle distance runner Abel Kvyat. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. The odds-on favorite to win the 1,500-meter race at the Stockholm Olympics nearly a century ago.
Yes, we cite that example to show how long-lasting these feelings of remorse can be. He was unable to get out of his mind the fact that he was almost the gold medal winner.
Oh, a long time? How long did this sense of regret last?
Well, he was interviewed when he was 91 and said that he still wakes up at night thinking, what happened to him?
70 years later, something like that.
Correct.
Now, how did you go about doing the research to find out that second-place finishers are more bitter than third-place finishers?
We obtained tapes of all of NBC's coverage of the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, and edited out clips of athletes either upon immediately learning they won a silver or bronze medal or on the medal stand. And then we showed those clips to people who had no interest in sports and didn't know who these individuals were. And then we had them rate these athletes on a 10-point scale, what you might call an agony to ecstasy scale. And what we found was that as predicted, the bronze medal winners were deemed to be happier than the silver medal winners.
How come?
Well, humans are rather sophisticated creatures, and we evaluate things not only for what they are, but for what they aren't or what they almost were. And being a silver medalist is a very good thing, but it's also almost being a gold medalist, which is not such a good thing. And so it's just very tempting for silver medalists to, in addition to feeling good about being on the medal stand, to also be a little bit tormented like Abel Kvyat was by, if I had done things slightly differently, I'd have a gold medal. I might be on the Wheaties box when I go to the grocery store next week.
I'm not sure they had Wheaties medal winners on the Wheaties boxes after the Stockholm Olympics. But I gather in social psychology, what you're describing is called an upward counterfactual.
That's right. We are influenced by not only factual events, what did happen, but counterfactual events, what almost happened. Let's say this morning I get a call that I'm going to be on your show, that's a very good thing. But suppose it were always a lifelong dream of mine to be on Science Friday and be interviewed by Ira Flatow. I might lose sight of the good thing being on your show and think about, oh, why is it not this other thing?
That's what we actually, mean we just got a better social psychologist on the other line, so we're going to switch to him. The bronze medal winners, though, that's a downward counterfactual. Your evidence suggests that they're happy that they won. They're not correlating it to the I could have won a silver. They're saying, hey, I'm looking down. I got a medal. All those other schlubs didn't get anything.
Exactly. Notice it's a little bit psychologically harder to imagine winning the gold because that's two steps away. They're only one step away from not being on the medal stand at all, and that encourages the very psychology that you just described, that, oh, at least I'm a medalist.
At least I got it. It's not the I could have been a contender.
Right. That's, yes, exactly.
Now, this is not just sports, I take it.
There's evidence of this kind of counterfactual thinking all over. In fact, the reason that I began to study this is I had a longtime interest in the experience of regret, and we tend to regret not just bad things, but bad things that needn't have happened, bad things that almost didn't happen. And this seemed like a nice and particularly powerful extension of that idea that what almost was can powerfully influence our thoughts about what is.
Is this a sort of road not taken-ology?
I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but very much so, yes.
All right, let's see if we get some callers in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. If you finished second in something that was important to you, did you come to regret it later on? We'll begin with Adam. Adam's calling us from San Francisco.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I place regularly, quite regularly, second in poker tournaments.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I could barely hear you. And I find it's not quite as disappointing when I place, you know, seventh or eighth as in second, because when it comes down to heads up play, it's always like literally the difference between maybe one hand, and you just dwell on it for you know, sometimes months about this one particular moment that you could have changed, the outcome of the tournament with.
Poker, famously, you're supposed to play the other player and not your cards.
Right. Well, in heads up, it's a little different because there's only two players, so it becomes a little more difficult to, to bluff, because if you run into a hand, there's just one guy to bluff, and you're in big trouble, so... It's one move that makes the difference usually, you know, especially in no limit. And you tend to dwell on that loss for some time, you know, at least until you win one. It's usually how I find it. Then you're a genius again.
Have you won one?
Oh yeah, I've won quite a few, you know, but it's the ones that I lost that I remember most. It's usually always I equate it to the other player got lucky, but it's always from my mistake. But
Tom Gilovich, is this upward counterfactual?
Well, yeah, it's essentially the fish that got away kind of story. Those things that turn out badly draw our attention, and you could argue that that's very productive. If we go back and review failures, we can do things better next time. But that happens at some emotional cost. We're so focused on those that we can spend too much time thinking about the one that got away and not the fact that, in the caller's case, that he came in second.
Adam, congratulations for finishing second all those times.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks for the phone call. Let's see if we can go to Joel. And Joel's calling us from St. Louis.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, it's my third grade year, and I'm at the County Spelling Bee Championships. And I finished second. It was my chance to go on to the sectionals. But the word was timeliness and missed it. Put a Y in there. And so I'm driving back with my dad, and he says, buck up, kid. You'll get him next year. So sure enough, I'm there again next year. And second place again. The funny thing is, the exact same word.
No.
Finally missed 2 years in a row.
Well, that's we can talk all we want about upward counterfactual, but Joel, you'll forgive me. That's just stupid.
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Oh, good. that must have third grade. It's been a number of years since third and fourth grade.
Yeah, and my spelling has improved.
Well, good, because otherwise you'd have to work in radio.
Yeah. I'm envious of you, Neil.
Well, thank you very much. You'll get him next year, Joel.
Yeah, my 28th birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So long. Here's an email from Ray in Cincinnati, Ohio. I finished in second place for the design of a $300,000 public sculpture project. The mayor of the community called me and told me how much he loved my design, but that I didn't win. Thanks. Not too long after the notification, the city changed mayors, and the new mayor found out that the project was not budgeted and the whole project was canceled. I hate to admit that I was more than a little happy about that. So I guess in that case, that little piece of schadenfreude that even the winner didn't win worked into Ray's situation with the design project. Let's see if we can go to another caller and go to Micheline, is that right?
Yeah, Michaeline.
Michaeline, okay. With us from yes. Woodside in California. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. So I was up, my nonprofit was doing a documentary on Zimbabwe, and it was up for a large grant through NVIDIA. And out of the whole process, we came in second. And so we lost the grant, but I have to tell you, I had a little different perspective. I felt like from that, I was on the right track. So it gave me hope to get ready for the next one.
So she would be one of the outliers in your findings, Tom Gilovich.
Yes, that's correct. Not all silver medalists are unhappy. Not all second place finishers in other walks of life are unhappy. And that example and the whole research really captures the fact that there's a great deal of flexibility we all have in evaluating our experience. That famously, life is a glass half empty and half full, and we can try to think about it either way. The half empty part, if we want to really go back and focus on what we did wrong, what we might do better next time. The half full part, if how we're feeling is our paramount concern.
Did you succeed the next time?
Haven't been there yet, but I'm hopeful.
Well, good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. We're talking with Tom Gilovich, who was a part of a team of psychologists. He's at Cornell University, who found that silver medal winners were not as happy as bronze medal winners. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Mike on the line. And Mike's with us from Des Moines, Iowa.
Hi there. My wife is a social psychology professor, and one of her areas of expertise are in the concepts of effort justification and cognitive dissonance. And I was wondering, with effort justification, where you rate your outcome as higher depending upon how much effort you put into a particular endeavor, I'm wondering if that could correlate perhaps to some of the bronze medal winners and their downward counterfactuals. And if by the same token, perhaps the silver medalists, their effort justification is running head-on into their cognitive dissonance where I just won this wonderful thing, but it's not good enough. I was wondering if you could speak to those two concepts.
And Tom Gilovich, if you would translate that into English, too.
Well, the harder we work for something, and suppose it turns out badly, we've got something of a psychological problem. I just exerted all this energy, and I have nothing to show for it.
Came up short. Yeah.
So we often justify that by essentially the sweet lemons idea. And in order for that to explain these results, one would have to maintain that the bronze medalists exerted more energy, more effort than the silver medalists. And if the caller had a theory about why that would be, then we might be able to work with that. Absent such a theory, one would have to assume that all Olympians really are trying at their maximum.
Mike, do you have any more data to throw into this theory?
Well, unfortunately, my wife is the one who's the social psychologist, and, you know, I've only learned these concepts from her secondhand, so I'd probably have to ask her to forward a theory with regards to that. I just wondered if he had any thoughts on those concepts as how they could possibly correlate to his own studies.
Well, thanks for the idea. Maybe your wife can send us an email.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks very much for the call. Interestingly, you've commented on this, Tom Gilovich, that, you know, we all have to set a line between where we create the optimal balance between achievement and satisfaction. How good is good enough? And this is a line that we have to set for our whole lives. If we set the bar pretty low, we might not achieve very much, but we might be happy. If we set the bar pretty high, we might be miserable, but win the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, this is just one of the many examples in which life is a fine balancing act. And this is where we essentially leave the psychology, the science of psychology that can tell us that why silver medal winners are less happy than bronze medal winners, and enter essentially the art of living, because we face those kinds of dilemmas all the time. And it's not clear that psychology can prescribe how to, for people, exactly where to set that that balance point.
Here's a couple of emails. Cameron in Buenos Aires in Argentina. When I was finishing my PhD, I really had a desire to go to work at a university. I sent out hundreds of applications to different universities and was indeed the most disappointed the few times when I was told I was their next choice. Whereas when I just got a stock rejection letter, I didn't seem to mind at all. Even for universities that I didn't really want to go to, I found that being told I almost got the job was much more painful than just a straight-up rejection, and that would seem to bolster your theory. And this from Ken in St. Louis. At the international competition of the Harmony Society in 2007, the men's barbershop chorus, of which I'm a member, didn't just come in a close second. We actually tied. Out of 3,000 points over two songs and 15 judges, both our chorus and the eventual gold medal winners got exactly the same score of 2,849 points. We lost on a tiebreaker, which is the highest score in one of the judge categories. It's difficult to put the emotions of how that felt into words, but suffice it to say, our battle cry over the point year was, one more point. So they're going to go back and sing a little bit better next year, another outlier. And thanks very much for your time today, Tom Gilovich. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Tom Gilovich joined us from Cornell University Media Services in Ithaca, New York, and he's a psychology professor there. Tomorrow, the cost of college. How much should we pay? You can email us now with the name of a college you'd like to attend and where you live. We'll crunch the numbers and tell you how much it may cost. Our address is talk@npr.org. Tune in tomorrow. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan at the Newseum in Washington, D.C.